friends. Thanks again for joining us for the Urban Grace podcast. Today, I'm super excited. We have my friend Jesse here joining us. Friends, do you guys realize this is our ninth interviewee that we have on this church podcast? This is exciting. We're finding a rhythm. It's awesome. And I invited Jesse because what we're going to be talking about today is in line with the theme of what I ask to be on the show, finding people that help others either in jobs, hobbies, or studies. And Jesse's podcast does that. So thank you so much, Jesse, for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So should we just dig into this?
Yes, please.
All right. So the first question I have for you, as you already know, I'm a big fan of your podcast called Waiting for What? For those that are not familiar with it, could you give us a glimpse into what you talk about on the podcast?
I can. Yeah. So Waiting for What came out of a long journey. I actually started thinking about the themes that I got to in the podcast when I was first married because sex was not what I expected. And I was pretty thrown off. And I had talked to friends about it and I had tried to get ready. But as a new bride who was excited to be married, I was not excited about what sex was like. And so I started thinking about a book called So I Waited for What? Because I was so like confused and upset. And as I talked to my other friends from like Christian circles who had also either waited for marriage to have sex or had kind of promised to wait after they came into their faith, a lot of us were having the same experience where we were kind of given this idea about what sex would be. And then we mixed that with what society told us sex would be. And then we got to sex and it was not as awesome, honestly, as I had expected. And so I started thinking about this book and my husband was super supportive because he also like wanted sex to be awesome for me. And so I have to like give him major props. Like at no point was he like, please don't talk about this. He was always like, yeah, like figure it out. And so I started talking to friends for the book and I actually went ahead and interviewed people about their sex lives. And you guys, the things that I found out, I was like pretty shocked. People who'd been in marriages for like 10 years were still not having good sex. Women felt so isolated because of kind of the stigma that's on sex and the confusion around like, what is purity? What is like being overly sexual? What are we supposed to be as women in sexual relationships? So I had these really interesting conversations with women. And then I wrote this book that was 10 chapters. And I have three children. So it was kind of like each kid gave me like a few months to a year where I wasn't working. And so I would work on the book. But at some point after my second daughter was born, I realized like the way that I had formed the book and the ideas that I had had about it, and even kind of the approach that I took to the interviews had gotten pretty stale because as the years had gone on, my own theology had really shifted around both feminism and like female spirituality and like women's roles in life. And I didn't come from a super conservative background. I was actually raised in a fairly like liberal Catholic family, but you know, you get into the soup of like conservative Christianity and you're not really sure like what is new and what is true. And so I was wading through all of that. And then after my third daughter was born, I had some time and my husband was like, please finish the book because he has been hearing about it for a long time.
Yeah.
And when I came to the realization that I didn't want to finish the book, like I didn't want to publish it, I thought, you know, what I would really like to do is take what I had written and consider it with my evolved like ideas and then maybe talk about it with other people. And so that's what I did. I ended up breaking down each chapter and I would like talk about a chapter and kind of how I reflected on what I had thought when I wrote it and what I had kind of been putting into that work. And then I would interview someone along like similar lines. And I was super fortunate because all of these friends that I have known a long time were willing to sit down and talk. And then some friends that I had only met when I came to Tacoma were mm-hmm. also willing. So I had this like great variety of voices and from really different Christian traditions too. So we had different ideas about sexuality, different ideas about marriage. And honestly, it was this really awesome project that was exactly the whole point of writing the book mm-hmm. was to help someone. I was like, if some woman needs to know she's not alone and feeling like sex is not what she had expected mm-hmm. and she gets my book in her hands and that helps her, that's all I want. And since I wasn't going to put the book out there, I thought maybe the podcast could serve that same purpose. Mm-hmm. And so we went with it. And that is what Waiting for What was all about.
Nice. Thank you for sharing that. A good overview of your podcast. Were you nervous about the vulnerability aspect of it? Because, you know, strangers and loved ones are learning some, what some might consider some pretty intimate and private information. How did you overcome that if you were nervous about the vulnerability?
Yeah, I think I was realistic about the fact that this was a topic that's personal and can be really vulnerable. But at one point, a woman that I had interviewed said to me, "Jesse, you have to do something with our stories because we trusted you with them." Hmm. And that was this just kind of voice of reason that, like, if someone was willing to share what they had with me, I wanted to be able to do right by that. I wanted to kind of make sure I took good care of that trust. And everyone that I spoke to knew that the information would be going out into the world in some format. And my own kind of concerns about talking about sex have ebbed and flowed. Like, I would say at the beginning when I was working on this project, I was more uncomfortable. I even thought, I once ran into a friend who was in my church, and it was a guy. Mm-hmm. And he was like, "What have you been up to?" And I'm like, "Oh, I'm working on this project. It's about sex." And I could feel my face flush because it was still like one of those things that I was not comfortable talking about with this person. And I do think there's a sense of like, I am putting out what I'm comfortable with, and this is under my control. Mm-hmm. So I think that helped me kind of move past feeling really uncomfortable. Again, my husband's like unwavering support was mm-hmm. really important to me feeling comfortable that whatever like kind of way the conversations went, he was supportive of this project and this idea. And then I was really inspired by my friends who were also willing to just open up and unpack things. And what was so cool was when we would be having a conversation about sex and the ways that we came to our sexual ethics and the ways that we made our decisions and sort of learning from each other in that mm-hmm. process. I can so distinctly remember with one guest, she was bringing up these ideas about why we put sex in this like really protected category and we don't talk about it. And as she was saying these words, I was like, wow, I have never considered it that way. And that is so helpful. Mm-hmm. So I really benefited from the conversations too, which was an encouragement to keep going.
Oh, nice. That's awesome. When are you going to let your daughters listen to them?
That is a great question. I have been thinking a lot about how I talk to my daughters about sex, sexuality, the ideas that both culture and church bring to that conversation. And I think I'm going to have to wait and see like when it seems like they are ready. I also think it's a really interesting kind of point of consideration. Like, how much do parents talk to their kids about the sensuality and the pleasure of sex? I'm still working on like, what do I think about a parent's role in informing their kids about sex? Because I think there's so many different voices in parenting. Some are like, let's be sex positive and let's say yes to all things sex. Some are like, let's not talk about it. Those are like the extremes, right? And I think I want to go somewhere in the middle where I am open with my daughters and I'm really honest with them, but that I'm not like pummeling them. I actually had a conversation this weekend with a dear friend who said she wished that she had started talking to her daughter about sex more in third grade because her daughter is now a seventh grader and they're doing sex ed. And she feels like, or she felt like she needed to go through every single element of sex ed with her daughter before she got to class. And I said, what do you think would happen if your daughter got to sex ed and you hadn't talked to her about, for example, oral sex?
Yeah.
Like, what do you think would happen? And she thought about it for a little bit and she realized, like, we don't actually teach our kids like all the math they need before they go to math class. Like, right. They learn it. And then we want to be there if they have questions.
Right.
Obviously, sex and math are very different.
Right.
But in some ways, like, her school system seems like they're doing a good job of talking to kids about a lot of important elements that have to do with sex. Mm-hmm. Not at all probably what we all grew up with, where it was like two lessons and it was anatomy and nothing more. Right. Now they're talking about it for 10 different sessions. They're addressing things like sexual identity and consent. Mm. They're talking about things like how to respect people's views that are different than yours when it comes to sex. And I feel like if my kids are coming into a program like that, where they're going to learn a lot about sex, I want to be a support to them, but I'm not an expert in sex nor in sex education. Right. So I sort of trust that, like, if they can get good information and then I can be a support to that right now, that's kind of what I'm imagining I'm going to do. So the podcast will be available, but I don't think they're probably going to want to listen to it for a long time.
Right. Yeah. As like their mom, they might be like, oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
But yeah. And that's interesting. It seems like sex ed is getting a lot more advanced. I mean, I'm not even that old. Like, I'm 34. And I feel like when I did sex ed, it was like, here's pictures of STDs. You get pregnant if you don't use a condom. That's about it. Like,
right.
Maybe they touch on periods. That's literally about it.
Yeah. And no, I think that's a place that there has been an awakening that we need to have more robust conversations and we need to be more realistic about the fact that young people, seventh grade seems about right, are starting to think about their sexuality and sex. And at some level, that's what the podcast was about too. Like, let's up the conversation. Let's talk about this more so that it's more normalized and more real, because it is a part of many people's lives. And so I wanted to kind of be a part of that movement of like, let's have these conversations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. What has been some of the feedback you've received from listeners, and was any of the feedback surprising?
I have gotten a lot of really positive feedback, which I appreciate so much.
Yeah.
A lot of women have told me that they love hearing the stories. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people resonate with different guests and the way that people have struggled with their sexuality or struggled with their sex lives. Mm-hmm. And I do think as married women, a lot of us don't feel comfortable saying this is hard or this isn't going great. And so putting voices on my podcast that were okay kind of walking through their journey and saying that that was part of their story, I think that helped a lot of people to feel like I actually can talk about this. And in talking about it, maybe I can even find solutions or find some community that can be supportive. Mm-hmm. The feedback that was surprising was the folks that asked me, like, does your husband know that you're doing this? I'm like, yes, he does. But it was like interesting
they thought
you
to kept me. It a secret?
Or that I would do that without talking to him. And I'm like, that would not be a healthy communication dynamic to be having this kind of intimate conversation about our sex life.
Yeah.
And, the podcast is not about my sex life. The podcast is about how we as women who come through the church and a lot of like Christian culture approach sex in general, and then how it kind of plays out in specific parts of our life. Mm-hmm. So obviously I'm going to talk about my experience, but mine is just one experience.
Right.
And fortunately it is a really good experience. Like, I have a very positive sex life and I think my husband is comfortable with me talking about that.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. What is your hope that people would gain from listening to your podcast?
I would love it to give people a space to feel kind of understood or seen. And then I would love it to spark conversation. Hmm. That definitely is the bigger goal, that if you heard a podcast episode that was interesting or that you really resonated with, that you might talk about it with somebody else, and then kind of build that network of supportive mm-hmm. community and using the podcast as a way to build those kinds of relational mm. connections where you feel comfortable talking about your sex life.
Yeah. Make it less taboo.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah. And I'll add this one thing. I think the question I will ask is, were you hoping it was a particular audience that listened to your podcast or open to kind of anybody?
That's a great question. I would say I initially imagined that only conservative Christian women, not even conservative, actually. I don't know that conservative Christian women would love my podcast right. because it is quite progressive.
Yeah.
So I sort of thought women who maybe have come from conservative Christianity and moved in a direction that is not as closed mm-hmm. off, that they might feel, you know, connected to the podcast. Mm-hmm. But I have a lot of friends who don't necessarily claim Christianity or like a Christian community. So it was interesting for sure to have conversations with them about mm-hmm. the podcast. And in some ways, I think it was helpful to some of my people to hear the podcast because it gave them an inside look on like what the communities of Christian women that they might know kind of mm-hmm. think or are sort of trapped by as far as like Christian, like conservative Christian sexual ethics. Mm-hmm. Because when you're not in an evangelical setting, you don't know all the kind of weird things that we either say to each other or mm-hmm. allow to be said or kind of prop up.
Yeah.
And so when you shine light onto that, I think that was helpful in the podcast, was talking about some of those weird ways that like we don't talk about sex mm-hmm. or we keep sex as like on the other side of the altar, it's going to be amazing, but beforehand you should have no sex, like yeah. sexuality. It was helpful to talk those things through. And I think people outside of the Christian culture mm-hmm. might find that illuminating. I don't yeah. know if like in a good way or a bad way, yeah. but I do think that the podcast is for anybody who is interested in the stories of women, because at mm-hmm. the end of the day, each of the people that I interviewed is a unique person mm-hmm. who has their own kind of view on faith and their own sex life and their evolution as a woman.
Yeah. Yeah. The reason I asked that specifically is because I feel like I gained a lot of knowledge and value from it as a single, non-married person. So, but I feel like most of the people, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think I've listened to all of them yet, but all the people you've interviewed are married women, right?
That is true. Yeah. yeah. And isn't that interesting? Like,
yeah,
I was having this conversation with a friend recently that as much as I feel like I'm a progressive in many ways, I still like do hold some quite conservative, I don't know if conservative, I don't know, traditional views on yeah. like, not even views. I would say they haven't fully like, as I'm evolving in my faith, my sexual ethic is evolving. And during the podcast, like hearing people talk about their own choices and the way that they experienced the love of God and made very different choices from me mm-hmm. In their sexual life, that was eye-opening. And actually, that reminds me that, no, one of my guests is a single woman.
Oh, okay.
Who shared about her journey. Yeah. Nice. I think it's an episode with my friend Amy. And yeah, so talking to her did give me insights into how this woman of faith who I adore and know well had this very different journey around her own evolution as a person, like as a sexual person and as just a person in general. So I think I'm still on that journey. I was going to say I'm like, I have old school beliefs, but I don't even like hold to the belief that sex and marriage have to be together, because as my friend in one of the episodes said, a lot of really beautiful sex is happening outside of marriage and mm-hmm. a lot of not great things in sex lives are happening inside of yeah. marriage. So at this point, I've come to a point where I can say, like, for me, the sex that I have had in marriage has been really a positive experience. And I didn't mm-hmm. have sex outside of marriage, so I can't talk about
yeah.
that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I think every single person makes those choices for themselves. And yeah. I think people have positive experiences with a lot of different choices.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. That's good that you're, you know, you're seeing all this wide perspective on like what's good. And
I'm trying, yeah, you know, like
you're doing great.
I'm trying to listen and let go of stuff that is actually not loving or like compassionate. Because I think at times during my journey, I've had very judgmental beliefs and very like, I would say to get all like Christian, un-Christ-like beliefs about people who make different choices than me. And as I've gotten older, I'm releasing a lot of that understanding that like God's love for us is so non-judgmental.
Yeah.
And if I want to be more like that, then I have to like stop thinking that the way I'm doing things is the way and appreciating that different people make different choices. And that is a really beautiful thing.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, I feel that. We should talk more about that later. I can relate to a lot of what you just said, so I understand. What is the future of your podcast? Could you give us kind of a sneak peek as to what's to come?
I can. Yes. I have about 3 or 4 more chapters that I'm going to break down, and then I have on kind of the horizon, an interview with a female pastor who I respect tremendously, who has really interesting ideas about her faith and the way that she would teach about sexuality as a pastor. And then I've contemplated having a final interview where my husband and I talk about the project together.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. So for those now, everyone who's heard this episode, they are all dying to know, how do I get my ears in this podcast? Is how could our listeners today access your podcast? Like, what are all the platforms you use?
I am so sorry. I am so limited. I think I'm only on Spotify and Apple. I don't even know what other ones I would be on.
Oh, okay.
But hopefully you can find it Waiting for What on those. And then During the creation of the podcast, I did add the chapters of the book with the podcast episodes that are coordinated. So if you ever want to look at like my old book that never got published, you can go into the show notes and check on that. That is the way that I am putting the book out into the world, because it feels like the podcast episode is like an explanation of what you might be reading. So
that's really cool.
It's all there.
That's so vulnerable of you.
Yeah, I mean, I think it just speaks to the journey.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm not at all telling people that what I'm saying is right. I'm saying this is like what I've gone through as far as like my process of understanding this. And I'm still on that road. Like I'm 40 years old. I feel like I have another like 40 years of a sex life ahead of me. Fingers crossed. And so the journey is going to keep going. Yeah. Right. And I'll keep learning, and to me, that feels pretty exciting.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, thank you for sharing. It was so fun to chat with you about your podcast. I will keep listening. I'm a fan. And I'm excited for what's up to come.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. All right. Thank you for listening, friends. And we'll talk to you another time.